The following audio is from Foundation Life Bible Church. More information about Foundation Life is available at www.foundationlbc.com.
This mini lesson is one of a series, walking through what the Bible teaches about eldership and its importance in the church. As you consider these sessions, please pray with us and ask the Lord to guide our church in finding and calling elders. Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning. Really good to see all of you. If you're visiting, we are glad you're here, and we know that some of you are going through a tough season right now. We want you to know that we're behind you, we're praying for you, and we love you. The Lord is good. He's good all the time. So we have two things that we want to touch on. You're going to see my face more than you normally do, because we're going to continue our mini lessons as we look at, biblically, what an elder is. And for those that aspire to be an elder, what that looks like. So I want you to open up to the book of Titus. And we're going to be looking at chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. And while you're doing that, I will open us up in prayer. And if you want to, you can also put your bookmark or your finger where we're going to be in our sermon today, and that's Mark chapter 3, verses 13 to 19.
What was the verse in Titus?
Titus chapter 1, 1 through 9. And our focus today will be on verse 9. But we'll go ahead and look at all of it, okay? So let me open us in prayer. Father, what a privilege it is to come together, Lord, to be your church. We thank you, Lord, that as we just sang, Lord, as we just heard, Lord, that we've been sealed with your Spirit. God, if we are in Christ Jesus, we are sealed with the Spirit, which means there's a guarantee of what is to come. That you've rescued us, God, from decay. You've rescued us, Lord, from death. And we have the hope, Lord, that we will be with you. But God, as your word says, eternal life starts now. Eternal life is knowing you. It's knowing your character. It's who you are, Lord. So we ask you, God, that you quiet our hearts. We ask you, God, as we look at the qualifications of elders, God, Father, that you reveal to us, Lord, the call, Lord, that you reveal to us, Lord, what this looks like as we call elders, Lord, in 2019. We trust you. This is your church. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Titus chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Let's look at that together. And like I said, we will focus on verse 9. Let's go ahead and read the whole first part here to get the context. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to further the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time, and which now at his appointed season he has brought to light through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of God our Savior. To Titus, my true son in our common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. The reason I left you in Crete was that you might put in order what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. An elder must be blameless, faithful to his wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Since an overseer manages God's household, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. Okay, so let's review what we've learned so far as we've heard from Rick and Chris and Craig and Conrad. Okay, so first, we touched on that pastors, that elders, that overseers are one and the same in Scripture. It's just different terms referring to the same position in God's church. And first and foremost, those who aspire, those who believe they are called to be elders, must submit to God. They understand that He is King And as we've touched on in Mark, I don't have a kingdom. You don't have a kingdom. Sometimes we think we have a kingdom, but we don't have a kingdom. It's Jesus who sits on the throne. And in turn, they follow his lead. They're never to lord over God's people, but are to pastor, are to shepherd, and lead with a servant's heart. Scripture makes that clear. As we revisit in our passage today, elders are called to divide the word of truth. In other words, they're called to preach God's word. And they preach it for two primary reasons. The first one, for the sanctification of God's people. And remember this truth. You are saved if you're in Christ Jesus. Praise God. But it doesn't stop there. Because you are being saved every day. You're being sanctified. You're growing in grace. And also, you will be saved. You will be with Jesus. You will have a resurrected body and share in his glory. And praise God for that. But it's the sanctification for God's people. And also, so that the children of God, so that the church can be assured of their salvation. Those are the two reasons. We also touched on that the shepherds of God's church are called to not only teach the word, but live by the truths they teach. Being empowered by the Spirit, grace invading their lives. And the church is to look no further to test this than their family. Does this man serve? Does this man love? Does this man care for his children? Does he love his wife as Christ loves the church? Is he leading his family to love and follow Jesus? Finding out what creates worship in them. Finding out how they worship God. Very, very important. The scripture also lays out what an elder is and what an elder is not. And an elder is not self-centered, the text tells us. An elder is not arrogant, not impatient, not quick-tempered, not greedy or controlled by the desires of the flesh. Elders are called to be men of strong character. They have a love for the Lord and the people in his church. And finally, they are to be hospitable. They are to love what is good. They are to be self-controlled. They are to be disciplined. And they are to be holy. And of course, we understand in order to walk in these things, it's Christ in us. It's filling, being filled with the Spirit of God. As Paul writes, it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ Jesus that lives in me. This is how we're all supposed to live as Christians, but the qualifications are clear as to what it looks like for an elder, one that's walking with the Lord and submits to his authority. All right, let's look at Titus 1:9 and read it together. Here's what it says. This is our verse today. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can, watch this, encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. This is not the first time Paul touches on the importance of the scriptures. Look with me at chapter 1, verse 1. Look what it says. And their knowledge of the truth. Put your finger on verse 3. Look what it says. Brought to light through preaching. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. Teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. And again, chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. I won't read it, but it focuses on teaching different people groups. Older men, older women, young men, and bond servants or slaves. I recall sitting on a pastor for many years at the Creek, as I was there about 10 or 11 years. And the pastor would often say this. He would say, if it's repeated, it's important. And so look at how many times Paul is saying, hold fast to the truth. Protect the scriptures. So first, Paul commands that the church call men who hold firm to the word of God. Elders are to be committed to the word of God. Enveloped in God's word. Saturated in it. Or you use your favorite verb to describe being filled. They must be able to teach the word, to divide the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15 says this, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth." So they hold fast to the scriptures, the first thing our verse tells us. Second, they hold fast, they teach the truth. Why? So they can encourage and build up God's church. They do it so they can encourage and build up God's church. That means they declare and they defend the scriptures as they shepherd the flock. It means they must fight for and defend the truth fervently. And Paul does just that in chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. Look there with me. 11 through 14. Let's see what he says. "For the grace of God has appeared." And that's Titus chapter 2. I know you know that. 11 through 14. "For the grace of God has appeared to offer salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify himself, a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good." And finally, the last thing that's so important as the word of God is taught, it's also meant to rebuke those, to correct those who oppose it. Elders are to expose and bring into the light false teaching. They're to protect the sheep from false doctrine, whether acting in ignorance or knowingly to draw men to themselves. People who teach lies in God's church must be exposed. Take a look with me at Titus chapter 1, 10 through 16. Let's read what Paul says. Look at all the things he addresses here. "For there are many rebellious people full of meaningless talk and deception, especially those of the circumcision group, the Judaizers. They must be silenced because they are disrupting whole households by teaching things they ought not to teach, and that for the sake of dishonest gain." Verse 12. "One of Crete's own prophets had said it. Cretans are always liars, evil brutes, lazy gluttons. This saying is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply so that they will be sound in the faith and will pay no attention to Jewish myths or to mere human commands of those who reject the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and consciences are corrupted. They claim to know God, but by their actions, they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good." Paul lays out clearly here. These men, these wolves in the sheep, in the church, are to be rebuked, are to be silenced, and the lies are to be brought into the light. So what do we learn? We learn that those who are called to lead God's church, they are to hold firmly to God's word. They're to treasure it, and they're to be able to teach it. And they teach the word of God unapologetically to encourage the body of Christ and to protect her false doctrine. Let's pray. Father, we trust you. We thank you for what you're doing here, God. We ask you to call elders, Lord. praise and thank you for that, God. We want to glorify you in this church, Lord. We want to pastor, we want to shepherd, we want to lead, we want to oversee how you call us to, Lord. And we thank you that you've given us the grace to do that. Father, I pray that these words fall into our heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to audio from Foundation Life Bible Church, located in Greenwood, Indiana. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. For more information about Foundation Life Bible Church, please visit us online at www.foundationlbc.com.